Hello, and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community College's Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
Dana, it's Friday.
We made it. Oh my gosh.
Hey, we made it. I feel like I need a gigantic cup of something to get this
like a little something rolling. Something?
I don't know what, you know, not the kind of stuff you'd enjoy at the end of the day to, you know, relax yourself.
Okay, so not that something.
No, something to get going, you know? It's just one of those days.
Well, Dennis, it's 4:30 somewhere.
That's true. I thought the song was 5 o'clock, but apparently you start early.
Oh, no, I shaved off 30 minutes.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I get it. Well, you know, it's a work day. I get you.
Oh, man. So what you drinking this morning?
Just my regular raspberry sugared up cold brewed tea here.
It sounds good.
It is. It's got the sugary kick. It's either that or the hibiscus stuff, but I wanted to save that for later. Yeah. That stuff has no caffeine.
Oh, okay.
This, I think they inject with caffeine. I don't know.
It sounds like it.
I really do hope it works, you know, because it's going to be an interesting show. I don't have quite as much scripted as normal.
Uh-huh.
Mainly because this week has been busy. For those who don't know, we are, for those who are presenters, or as we call them, speakers for our conference, we've asked many of them to pre-record their sessions as much as possible, all the breakout sessions. We have maybe 25 or 26 different breakout sessions broken down into 8 different time slots. And to make it easier, technically or technology-wise, on us and the support staff we have, most of us are going to pre-record our sessions. And then what we'll do is we'll be listening in the background and handling the Q&A chat box as the session plays.
Okay.
So to make it easier, two of the last sessions that we added to the schedule were roundtables. And I think we talked about this at the last show because I needed questions, right?
Right.
So we use those. And so we recorded 2 roundtables with members from CISFA. Our treasurer, our past president, our past president, Tamara, one of our regional reps, our VP of federal issues. We had at least 6 people total. I had them all nicely spread out. Oh, and a regional rep from down here in OC. And we had basically the same questions.
Okay.
About, you know, what have we done? What have we learned? What do we see going forward? As far as technology, any adjustments to staff schedules, how we interact, the good and the bad. And they went really well, I got to say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It sounds like, because of the lineup that you have on the panel, it sounds like it's going to be really exciting.
I think people are going to enjoy it. And even though they're the same topics, I got to say we took different aspects and viewpoints in the two of them, you know. Because, again, they're spread out all over the state. We have people from the south, the middle of the state, from the north, from, like, the San Jose, San Francisco, Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
You name it. We had the areas covered.
Yeah, and that's good because you need those different perspectives.
Yeah, and it's interesting. A lot of schools are doing just a lot of different things.
Yeah,
and so
I would imagine. Yeah.
So those went fine. And, you know, I found this recording through Zoom thing just works really fine, especially when you're not using any kind of PowerPoint. Because then the videos that recorded to my computer are just, you know, a 4-box thing of us in little squares, Brady Bunch style.
Okay.
So those turned out fine. And then along with that, I had to record my own session. I do a session on how to be a better presenter and make better presentations. And I've done it a number of years ago for CISFA. I did it recently for CASFA, this last fall. So I already had the idea of how to do an online presentation. Mm-hmm. I'd already kind of pre-converted my slides. But it took a little longer than thought. And so I'd planned to do it last night because Thursday night is like usually my open night. So I go pick up the groceries at 5.
Did you get long-winded?
No. Timing is never an issue for me.
Okay.
Because even though it's 74 slides, if you look at my slides, and part of my mantra is...
Ooh-wee, 74 slides.
But here's... If you've seen my slideshow, it's 74 slides and probably an average of 3 words per slide.
Oh, okay.
At the most.
Okay.
Versus some of the books that have been written by others, also known as slideshows, where you literally have to spend all day reading through the tiny little text of it. But and again, so it's a lot of slides, but I tried to time it to about right 50 minutes. The thing is, though, because I'm doing it from a PowerPoint, and so the idea is with Zoom, if you record in Zoom and you do like a PowerPoint thing, usually what your video recording is your PowerPoint, and then off in the tiny corner in the top right is your video mm-hmm. of just you. Well, the first time I did the run through, and I can't tell always on dual monitors what is being shared exactly. I know I was sharing my PowerPoint screen, but what I ended up doing the first run through was sharing the PowerPoint screen for the presenter. You know, and so when you have dual monitors and you do PowerPoint, you have what is your like output that you'd put to your big screen in the room, which is what I wanted to record.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the presenter view mode, which is on your little screen, which tends to look like a TV station thing. It's got a screen of what you're seeing on the big screen. Off to the side is the next slide. You got your notes somewhere down below that if you've got speaker notes. And down at the bottom is like all the little slides of the ones coming up. So that's what I got in my first recording. It picked the wrong screen.
Oh, man.
And I think it's because I started the recording... Or I started Zoom after I'd, or I started sharing the screen before I went into slideshow mode.
Mm-hmm.
And so it picked the wrong one. So I recorded first one. I'm like, well, I could use this, but then everybody would see my view and they may not focus on the slide at hand. They'll see the little slide to the side.
Yeah.
So I reset it all up. And the good thing was I knew that this could happen. So I just literally set myself to late night Zoom meetings back to back. So recording number 2 went just as well. Timing went just as well. Because again,
that's good.
One of the things I talk about in my slideshow, in my presentation is I always have either on my phone or an iPad. And I use my iPad right next to my computer screen here up on a little stand that I've got running a stopwatch. Because I mean, there's a clock running on the screen for PowerPoint into presenter mode. But I might start that up before I get recording.
I see.
And there's nowhere to see on the Zoom thing a recording time. So, yeah, I let that run the stopwatch. So, no, my timing went fine. It's just, you know, technical.
Do you have some technical issues there?
Yeah.
Yes. Now, let me ask you, Dennis, do you dedicate any of your slides about equipment? Because I know we're all about preaching the gospel of good equipment.
Yes, I do. And, in fact, because I did this back in October for our trying times edition, as I call it. I had already incorporated stuff about equipment for people doing presentations from home.
Awesome.
You know, when you're doing like a fat, like, you know, again, I've done a number of FAFSA nights. You've done some events.
Right.
You're doing them from home. Mm-hmm. And how do you prepare for that? When you're not, you know, hooking, you know, you're not bringing your computer out to the high school, hooking it into their projector and then going at it. So yes.
Old school style. It's so funny when you say that, because now I feel like that is obsolete now. I don't know. It just feels
And to think that I just bought new projectors, because, you know, I try to cycle them through as I think the equipment's getting old.
Uh-huh.
And I like to have at least 2 really good projectors, and the costs have come down too. And we have like 4 really good projectors and like a really old one, but it's reliable. But they're just sitting in the... storage
collecting dust
in a locked cabinet collecting dust at this point.
Yes, they are.
I mean, I feel like loaning them out to a library that could do a multimedia show with them, but there's no, you know, library or art place open that could use it. So It's a little weird. Yeah.
It really is. It really is. Like, and when, even when you talk about how we used to do presentations, it feels like, I don't know, it feels nostalgic in a way.
Yes.
Because of our current situation.
And this is something that I had to constantly toggle back and forth to in my presentation, was someday when we're back doing real live events, here's things to consider, like use a microphone at all times. How to, you know, what kind of computer, I talk about computers in the sense of, like, I show a graphic of a video cable end, the old style VGA, you know, the blue end with the multiple little pins and a little trapezoid. And then I show an end of a more modern video cable, HDMI, like we have for our TVs at home, and talk about how most computers now have HDMI video output because it's high resolution.
Right.
And a standard. So I talk about that. I talk about microphones. I show pictures of example mics that you would use at home, like the ones we use, you know, from Rode, you know, these pod mics. And I talk about, like, sound mixers and all. I say, you know, it's all about getting good quality sound and video, especially when you're at home. I talk about lighting, you know, ring lights like I have.
Yes.
A little background light, you know, to add some depth, or using virtual background. So yeah, I cover the gamut easily.
Cause those things they do, they may sound, you know, like they don't make a difference, but they actually really do.
They all add to it. And I didn't get my ring light until after I did my presentation for CASFA. Cause I had good lighting in my room here. I turned up the regular lights, opened up the shades, but it was Cheryl Foster Hunt. I think that's her correct number name, who used to work down at APU as director of financial aid many years ago, where you went. And then she's been working in other parts of the industry. And I think she moved either Northern California, Oregon at some point. But she was showing me her ring light, and she was my producer for my particular breakout session for CASFA.
Okay.
And, like, and did a good convincing of me that I needed to get myself one.
And looking at you, Dennis, it does.
I don't even have it on right now. In fact, I'm going to, hold on. Just for Dana and the audience.
This is awesome.
I've turned it on, even though only Dana will see the effect of it, but it fills in.
It does.
You know, and the whole idea is that, again, especially when all you have might have is lighting from above or behind you, you need that extra fill light. It's just like people on TV. If you see people on TV, it's about light from in front to take away the shadows. And usually at least a light from behind, like I have, that comes over your shoulder, because then it kind of gives you a 3D effect. If all you had was lighting from the front, you look like that poor reporter on the street with the camera pointing in her eyes as she talks. Behind us was a big car crash, and she kind of just looks like, boom, stayed, you know, kind of a weird, you know, shocking look. So you can avoid all that, people. Get yourself a good ring light.
A good ring light, yes.
There, I can't really even say a good one. They all looked about the same when I ordered them online, and there was like 50 different ones, all the same. They come on a tripod if you want the larger one, and it's got three settings of bright white, kind of a off-white or natural color, and because they're all LED, you know, they can play with the color a little bit, and brightness levels that go up and down.
And how about the price? Is pretty reasonable?
Oh, absolutely. Everything was under $50.
Oh, that's really good.
I mean, literally for the LED, for the light, the stand, some adapters that it's meant that the idea of a ring light is that whether big or small, is that you would put them around your camera. Now, I don't do that on the computer because the camera on a computer is right at the top of the screen. That light would dip into my screen. But there's all those adapters, too, in case you're recording like on an iPhone, you're doing some real video, you'd put your camera in between. That way, the light's all the way around the lens, lighting your subject at all time as you move the camera.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's again, super affordable. Definitely talk about lighting and sound and video and all of that in my little breakout session. So yeah,
it's gonna be awesome.
I really hope so for all the work that I've put into that, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyways, Dana, why don't we take a little musical interlude and move ourselves into some more topics here on a Friday, Loosey Goosey Friday.
And welcome back for our second cup segment on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
It's time for a refill.
A refill. Dennis, I am on my fourth cup here.
Fourth cup? Your poor little brewing pot has to be working overtime.
You know what? We keep saying it's one of those mornings, but it's really just been one of those months. Like
That's true. It's hard to believe it's only the fifth day of February. Man,
can you believe that? And then next week we'll be halfway through the month.
I know.
It's insane. That's wild.
Yes. And not only that, as soon as we get to the halfway point, it's holidays, everyone. How many presidents are we getting holidays for? Two or three. Boy. I don't know. A lot.
Man. Oh, man.
I don't know. It's going to hit. And the funny thing is this year, for all you romantics out there, the holiday, President's Weekend, you know, at least in our district, you know, we get both the Friday and the Monday for President's Day. Mm-hmm. I don't know what union, stole that off in the contract, but thank you. I'd like to thank you all.
Thank you so much.
So, yeah, welcome to the spring semester. Here are some days off.
There you go.
It happens right around Valentine's Day.
It does.
So Valentine's Day falls on a Sunday, which might be a little tough romantically for some people because, you know, it's a Sunday. You think you're going back to work. But for some of us who might have Friday and or Monday, who knows? I don't know what other school districts all do on this because of President's Day. You may have a longer romantic weekend now, everybody.
There you go.
Make use of it. Go. Have fun.
Now, let me ask you, Dennis, do you have any plans?
Not that I know of yet. Well, we'll have to see. We'll have to see. That is a whole nother podcast world, Dennis's romantic life, or we should say the lack thereof in many cases. But we'll see. We'll see if we can get something going.
We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
I got 9 days, 8 days.
Yes, you do.
Anything good could happen.
Anything can happen. Anything can happen.
True. And if not, at least I have the start of our spring semester to, you know, quell my heart next week, right?
Yes.
Right? We've got the start of that, and then everything will just be all lopsided and such.
Come on, man.
Now, how about you, Dana? Optimistic. Dana, how about you?
For me? Nah, Dana? Look. It's just me and my ride or die, my mom. But it's so funny that we're talking about this because she and I were talking about what we want to do for the day. And so we were like, you know what, why not have a nice dinner and watch a movie?
And this would be different from most of your weekends. How?
The fancy dinner.
Yeah. Oh, the fanciness of the dinner. Okay.
Yes.
So you're Grubhubbing from where? Or DoorDashing?
Oh, we actually, listen, we're actually pretty good cooks in this.
Oh, I know you. Oh, I know you are, but I didn't know if you'd want to. That's a lot of work.
Oh, it's just the two of us. We'll be okay.
All right, Dana. Well, are you at least ready for our spring semester?
Real talk, no, but.
You're going to find a way. You'll find a way.
Right. The Lord will give me strength.
Yeah.
And I will take all the encouragement and the strength that I can get.
I hope so.
Start on Monday. Yes, we are going to be hitting the ground running for sure.
Yeah. And to think that, you know, in talking to some of my colleagues at that round table, and we did some prep work before we recorded, but, you know, some of them, their spring semester started a week or two right after the start of January.
Wow.
And some of them don't start till like another week or so because they have a 5 or 6 week long mini session that goes January to early February. You know, ours ends today. You know, Friday, February 5th, which is about right for a winter session. And then we get right into spring. But yeah, it's all over the map. But I hope I'm ready too. That's all I can say.
we'll know when Monday gets here, I guess, Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to gauge. You know, this is the prop. This is one of those issues. I mean, being under COVID and pandemic and all, not being on campus, being able to gauge the sense of students and how enrollment's going. Mm-hmm. And all that stuff. I mean, you know, I'm used to that first week, as always, when leaving campus to go to lunch, having to put up with the line of cars at our stop sign.
Yes. And then when it's time to go home, the same.
Same thing.
The same thing, yeah.
It seems to wear itself out after a week, and then people retime themselves or stop going to class. So I don't know. You know.
That is so interesting, Dennis, how that happens. The first 2 weeks, like you said, it's it's like if we're at a BTS concert, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to get out, trying to get in and out of the parking structure.
Yeah, but then, in like about said, a week or so, it's like, oh, yeah. I can leave for lunch whenever I want.
Right, right.
Uh-huh. Who stopped coming to campus?
Did the students figure something out that we don't know?
Exactly. You know, maybe they're not. I don't know. I guess I don't know what the answer to that is.
The secret. It's the secret.
It must be. It must be. Yes. You know, the other thing, thinking about secrets, because it's you know, it's only been on the map for many years now. They are supposed to be breaking ground on our new student services building.
And Dennis, do you believe that? This has been coming for how many years, sir?
A generation has passed.
I think since when I started working there as a student worker, when I was like 17, 18 years old. Now I'm almost 40 years old now. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. I have in my office when I started a folder of pictures and drawings of what was to be the new student services building. Mm-hmm. And apparently that got shelved. And then when I started in like 2008, a few years later, we went through the process of working on the new student services building and getting that approved and how it was going to break ground and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And then that got delayed, mainly because we had a building on our campus that only took a decade to build due to mismanagement and a construction company going out of business and other things like that. But that caused our district across the way to hold back funds on most campuses to make sure that projects underway would get done first before they would move on with new projects. And, of course, student services, we never get any, you know, credit all on campus, so our building's always at the bottom of the list of anything getting built. Ours was put off till a new bond was passed. But yes, supposedly breaking ground this week, and hopefully they say the building will be done by the end of 2022.
That is awesome. You think that's feasible?
Absolutely not. And I'm not even talking that they're gonna like dig up like a burial ground or sacred stuff or anything.
Right.
There's just no way our district or a government project like this could ever be on time. I just don't see it happening.
So you're gauging maybe 2023?
I'm saying this is the tough part, you know, because again, if I was going to open the betting window, what would be the over under? Where would I put the line? Mm-hmm. Because right now they're saying like it will finish in late 2022 calendar year. Mm-hmm. Supposedly that means that we would enter the building and set up in January. I don't think that's going to happen at all. Now, does that mean we're going to set up and be in by spring of 2023? I don't know. I think the reality is more like summer 2023.
I have a feeling you might be onto something, yes.
Yeah, I guess. And it's not about mismanagement. It's just that when these projects start, they're huge. You're talking about a 60,000 square foot building, three stories tall. They've cleared the land. They still have to dig down because you put in like utilities and piping and all that good stuff. There's always some landscaping around it that has to be done. And something will go wrong along the way as far as a delay in getting some material in. You know, it's like the air conditioner unit. There's nowhere to put it on the roof. Okay, now it's got to get moved. Now we've got to redraw it. And the other thing I found that, and this is what took so long on one of our other buildings on campus, was anytime you make significant changes to your plan, apparently there's a division or Department of State Architects, DSA they call it, in the short, up in Sacramento, that needs to make the approval on it. And apparently that's also known as the process that takes forever. So you'll send stuff off to this DSA because you decide to add 5 bathroom stalls in your bathroom instead of 3. And then it's 6 months later till they get an approval.
So it's a process.
Yes, a broken process at that.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying. again, nothing against government, but if you wanted to find a way to slow something down to the point that it's a crawl, make it a government project.
Boom, there you
and
go.
And a construction project. You know, you know, again, I go back to our arts and media building on our campus. It started construction before they built the tallest building in downtown LA, the Korean Air building, One Wilshire or whatever the name is, Thousand Wilshire. I can't remember the number, but it's down there on Wilshire Boulevard, two blocks away from our district headquarters for our district. So we started our arts and media building way before they even decided to tear down the building that sat on that piece of land for the Korean Air skyscraper. They tore down that building, poured the foundation. It was the biggest concrete pour apparently on the West Coast ever because it had to go down deep, you know. It's the tallest building. Built that whole building out, and we were still not even done with our arts and media building.
Isn't that something? That tells you something, right?
Yeah, it's called profit motive. When you have a profit motive and you need that building done on time, guess what? Your building gets done on time. When it's a government building, not so much because there's no profit involved and there's no really reason to rush on it. It's just government money that's going to get paid out slowly anyways until you run out of money. And at the time you run out of money, you kind of hope it's done. That's about it. So, yes, very interesting. When you have a $1 billion building that could get done in record time, and our poor little arts and media building, you know, goodness, took forever.
It really did.
Yeah, it's a little sad, but it's just reality of things. I'm sure we have more tales from the building world on similar things like this. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, Dana, so
it's gonna be it's gonna be really interesting to see again how this all will unfold.
Yeah, we'll start taking bets at the window soon on this, everybody.
Oh, absolutely. We're joking, but we're really gonna do this.
Absolutely. Let's take a little musical break and move our way into our last segment here, Dana. Boy, the show is just cruising on by today, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so let's get right into our favorite segment of all time, everybody, our last sip. That's right. Whatever hot tea you're drinking there, tastes good, I hope.
It is amazing. So my new thing for the last couple of weeks I've been doing is, it's a citrus jade mint from Teavana
tea. Wow.
And then I add a little bit of peppermint syrup to it.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
And then let it steep for maybe like 5 or 6 minutes. And oh my God, then it is the best thing ever.
For a second there, I thought you were trying to tell me there's a person that you know named Citrus Jade Mint or something like that.
Oh.
That sounds like a name of like, you know, kids born during certain eras, you know, have different naming conventions. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know that Citrus Jade girl. Yeah.
Nah, that's funny. You know what, Dennis?
You know why? Because it's, what is it, that one, that actress's daughter who got caught up in the admission scandal, Jade McLaughlin, you know, Lori McLaughlin's daughter?
Oh, her daughter.
Yeah, that's why.
Uh-huh.
And her daughter, Peppermint. No.
Oh, man. Oh, goodness. So that's the name of my drink that I've been drinking these few weeks.
Wow. You really covered every base possible.
Man, every.
But between the mint and the peppermint, it must be pretty refreshing.
Man, I love it because I love peppermint and spearmint. Yeah. So, but it's the best.
I got you. Well, Dana, here in our last sip segment, we are at I Dare You To stage. Do you have anything for our wonderful people?
Not today, but I think you do because you were able to hit the streets to a bookstore, right?
Yes, I did. I went out to one of the bookstores out, Barnes & Noble out in Manhattan Beach. Nothing against the ones near me, but sometimes I just like to take a drive, and I had some time last week, Sunday, nothing going on, so I drove out to Manhattan Beach. I think it's actually in Hawthorne, they say. So, you know, Manhattan Beach West. As I think of it. But I went to the Barnes & Noble there, and I bought a couple books. One that I'd been looking for a while, and luckily it was a reprint paperback from George Will. Those who know George Will may know that he writes, obviously, for a variety of people. Newsweek. He's a conservative commentator at the minimum, you can say, but he also loves baseball. And so he'd wrote a book many, many years called Men at Work, The Craft of Baseball. And luckily this one's even got a new introduction to it. And just because, again, I've been getting into baseball more for a variety of reasons, I figured I had to, this has been on my list for a while. So it's a paperback, so it's probably the one that I'm going to throw in the car. So if I'm going somewhere and I'm just going to sit and read, I can do that.
Oh, awesome.
And then, you know, along with everything else, I buy a lot of books about educational related things. E.D. Hirsch, he's a founder and chairman of the Core Knowledge Foundation and a professor emeritus from University of Virginia. He's written a lot of books on things like cultural literacy, the knowledge deficit. These are some pretty big books. And he just put out a book recently called How to Educate a Citizen, The Power of Shared Knowledge to Unify a Nation. And so, you know, it's, you know, taking a look at our education system, in particular early education, you know, in the early K through 12 years, and the impact on our current circumstances and how to make improvements. So, you know, it's a book about education for sure, but it's just one more to add to the shelf. And the good thing is, kind of tiny of a read, and that's, which makes it even that much better of a book. Yeah, so I bought that, and then I bought a book called The White House Atlas. It's kind of like an illustrated guide to the White House and kind of looks at how the White House has changed over the last 100 years, construction-wise. You know, okay, how it's made up, how it's been used, when it's been rebuilt. It's been rebuilt a number of times, particularly during the 40s, 50s era after World War II. It went from what would be like a standard house construction to a super impenetrable concrete house with non-creaky floors and stuff. You know, I mean, it literally had parts that were falling apart on it. So okay. Yeah, I guess I like books like that on interesting buildings. So mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to read that as time permits, I hope. But Dana, I'll save you then. Next time we'll have some, I dare you to, I'm sure. Some book absolutely. You're reading, some music oh, yeah. you're listening to, some uh-huh. TV show you're watching the 15th episode of in a row.
Man, oh my all of goodness.
That. Yeah. But anyways, hey, we've ran out of time. Maybe ran over time a little bit, but we'll always have episodes for the coming weeks, twice a week. So I want to thank my co-host Dana for joining us today on What's Brewing CISFA, and thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And everyone, check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. And if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at WBCISFA@gmail.com.
For this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com. For those using Apple devices, open your podcast app and search for us using CISFA. You can also find our episodes at wbcisfa.podbean.com. That's pod and bean is one word. And you can find us on Spotify or Pandora or iHeartRadio. And now you can listen to us through the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo using Alexa.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and myself.
This has been episode number 61, recorded the morning of Friday, February 5th, 2021.
Have a great day.
And have a great weekend, everybody.